We read from the prophet Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. Listen again for God's word. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah, where King Zedekiah of Judah had confined him. Zedekiah had said, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I am going to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. King Zedekiah of Judah shall not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. And he shall take Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall remain until I attend to him, says the Lord. Though you fight against the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed.'" Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of your uncle Shalom, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is at Anatoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard in accordance with the word of the Lord and said to me, 'Buy my field that is in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anatoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and the open copy. And I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence I charged Baruch, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land.'" The word of the Lord. We reach our final story of this fall series dealing with resources. As you may remember, we have reflected on the stealing of resources and the power behind resources. We have heard some hard sayings from Jesus and been challenged to think about what is God and what is ours. We have considered the importance of putting our resources to good use. We have heard of the extravagant grace that God offers us. And now we finish with a story about Jeremiah buying some property. Perhaps not as familiar a story as some of the others, nevertheless, I think an interesting one. Let's take a look at the situation in Jerusalem at the time of the story. God's people are in trouble. The Babylonian army is besieging Jerusalem. This rising power in the world, which has been overrunning other countries, is now at the doorsteps of Jerusalem. Exile appears to be imminent. Jeremiah, God's prophet, the one who speaks God's word to God's people, is having some personal trouble as well. He is under house arrest, imprisoned, if you will, for making King Zedekiah angry. Note to self: if you tell the king he is going to be defeated, that he is going to be sent into exile, and that it is all his fault, there is a good chance you end up in prison. There is Jeremiah, his world, this place of confinement, Israel's world reduced to being surrounded by Babylonians. What should he do? God has an idea for him. Jeremiah, when your cousin comes and tells you to buy some family property, you know, the right of redemption in that field over there, buy the field. I'm sure that's just what Jeremiah is looking for, a chance to invest in property, to invest in the future when the world seems to offer no future. What better deal than that? Should Jeremiah buy land? What would you do? I'm reminded of a cartoon I saw a few years ago. A minister is marching around carrying a sign that says, "The end is near." And right behind him comes a woman, maybe his wife. She's carrying a sign that says, "Last chance for shopping." The world is crashing in. Jeremiah, the prophet who speaks God's word, who knows better than any of them what they have done to be in this plight, who has warned and warned and warned again, decides to go shopping. He buys the field. With seemingly no viable future except exile to Babylon, Jeremiah puts his money down to redeem the field in Anatoth. Well, not exactly Jeremiah. He's very clear. Go back through that story. At least five times he says, "This is the word of the Lord." It's not me making this decision. I'm not that bad a business person. But God is telling me to do this. God is acting. It may not be a good investment, but it's a great sign of God's desire to redeem. This is not a simple land transaction, but a purchase that acts as a sign of what God is going to do. The Israelites know about buying resources as a way of redeeming. It's built into their system. We heard the passage from Leviticus read that lays out the provisions for how you redeem property. If a family member has financial difficulties and has to sell the family property, the next of kin can, indeed, some might say, has the responsibility to buy the property and redeem it. It goes back to that idea that we are stewards of what is God's. So you buy property to redeem it. Jeremiah's action on behalf of God acts as a sign of what God is going to do, redeem Israel in the future. That's why there's this big public scene when he buys the field. Not some side deal off in the shadows that no one can see, but a transaction that everyone can see and hear. Can't you imagine the gossip lines lighting up after this purchase? Did you hear what Jeremiah did? He bought property. And you know what? It's going to get taken over by the Babylonians. Doesn't he have any sense? Is he crazy? No, Jeremiah is not crazy. He is acting at the command of God, whose word in these dire circumstances is houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. With God, there is a future. Not only a word of hope in the moment, but a story that the exiles can tell long into the future to remind themselves. Remember, Jeremiah bought property. Remember, God will come to redeem. God not only will redeem a field, but redeem a people. Fast forward to today, the day we offer our pledge commitments. We all have different reasons for making a pledge, our own formulas for determining what our pledge will be. If you look at the wordle on the front of the bulletin. It's got lots of words that you've used in different ways and at different times to express your gratitude and why you're connected here and what St. Andrew is doing as the body of Christ. Regardless of why you give or what you give, our giving is also a sign. A sign of our belief that God is still at work in the world and that God's future is still being played out in our world. If we knew that time would end on 12/31/2017, there would be no need to make a pledge for next year. If God were going to quit engaging our world, if God were going to quit sending us into the world, if God were going to quit asking the body of Christ to continue its ministries in the world, there would be no need to make commitments. But God is not done, so we are not done. In fact, as we look around our world and we cry out, why this, why now, what's going on in our world, we see even more and more needs and opportunities for the body of Christ to live in to that future God has for us. Our pledge is also a sign of our commitment beyond our financial resources, a concrete expression that says, I'm in. God does not just desire a financial commitment, but a total commitment. All that we are. Visiting Texas through the years before we moved back meant coming back to visit, and there were certain things that we would do, not all the time, but sometimes. And in our time away, babes moved in to the area. Some of you know that place, family style serving. Chicken fried steak you can't find in Ohio. So we'd go every once in a while through the years, even been a few times since we've been back. If you've ever been, you know what happens various times through the evening. The staff gets together, they quit serving the tables, they put their arms around each other, look like they're lining up for some high kick routine, but then they sing the hokey pokey. You know, you put your right foot in, you take your right foot out. Do you remember what the last verse is? You put your whole self in, you take your whole self out. You put your whole self in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. All right, everybody stand. Everybody. You don't have to, but you know you're going to want to say, I was there the day we did the hokey pokey with a pipe organ. Whole self in, you take your whole... Take your whole... Sit down. Today you are invited to make a pledge to the God whose future is ever before us. To put your whole self in. Amen.